All right, Sports Choir here with Charlie Cobb, Athletic Director for Georgia State Football, or Georgia State Athletics. We're going to start with football. It's football season. You just had homecoming. How did the festivities go? How's the energy of the program right now?
So, you know, great week for campus, and obviously when you win a ball game on Saturday, it makes everybody excited, gives everybody a little bit added pep in their step. But, you know, we've got five games left on the schedule. We feel confident going into the games. There's a lot of energy around the program. Five games are important for a lot of reasons, and one of those reasons being is that we're playing teams that we are equally as competitive with. And so we feel confident that we can win most, if not all, and turn this record around. But it's great to have football on the campus. It brings such life and vitality, not only to an athletics program, but then also to campus. And so it's always fun and exciting.
This is our second full year of covering Georgia State football, and noticing from last season, beginning of the year, losing records and just not as much success. Last year, obviously, getting to six wins, getting to a bowl. Seems like there's been a change in not only expectations, but just the overall morale of the program. How did last year's success just help with your fundraising efforts and getting growth within the program?
What we saw last spring was a lot of energy and excitement, and probably for the first time, people talking about Georgia State football before it became the fall. And you know, as we've said many times, we live in the South, and football's king in the South, and especially college football. And so, for us to be able to have a credible, viable program that's top of mind with not only fans but also people in the Atlanta community, it's truly important for the growth and development of the program. You know, we still have to be mindful of the fact that it's still a relatively new program, and especially at FBS, and sometimes you have to temper expectations. But the reality of it is we have a full complement of rosters. We've got an outstanding coaching staff, so we've got a great school you can recruit to. And so and we're in a part of the country where high school football is really, really good as well. So, you know, we've got all the pieces to the puzzle to be very successful. And probably the difference between this year's team and last year's team is last year's team was all about trying to score. And then about halfway through the year, we found a magic formula on defense and won some games pretty convincingly. This year, the defense has played outstanding for most of the season so far, and fully expect them to continue to play that way. Offensively, we've had a few growing pains. We've got some talented players. We need to get them healthy and get them on the field and allow them to let their skills, make plays and be who we are. But it's always fascinating, and it's the magic of sports. But every team is different. Every team is unique, and this one's certainly different from last year. But we've got all the puzzle pieces in place to really start developing a true program.
Go to facilities. I'll start with football. You have go to practice field every week. It's a unique setup as far as the where it's located and things like that. But when we first started covering them, it was just the field itself. But now you have the weight room or that facility. Take me through that process of setting that up and finding the space and the ability to at least have to make a football have that one area between the practice field, which is a full length football field, and the weight room as well, and other amenities.
Pick up any newspaper on any particular day, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that facilities are awful important for programs to be successful. And candidly, whether it's an academic program or an athletic program, it speaks to commitment to a program. It speaks to commitment for your staff and on down the line. And we're no different. You know, we've got a tremendous facility over on MLK for a football program. The one thing that it was lacking was a weight room that was pretty convenient for the guys to leave the practice field during the season, but probably more importantly during the off season and especially in the summer. And so we were able to take some existing funds that we have and secure some new funds and put the building up and stock it with the appropriate equipment. And it allows a lot of continuity for the guys. Before, guys were having to come all the way back to the sports arena at some point during the day to get a lift in. And if you're trying to do it as a team, from a camaraderie standpoint, it's very difficult. It's a little bit undersized for a football program to be lifting down here. And so we've given them more space, the right equipment, in a much more convenient location. And so it's certainly feel like it's added to the quality of our physical fitness for our guys. We've got an outstanding strength staff. Scott Holzhoppel is an incredibly talented strength coach, and so great motivator for the kids. And so we feel like we've got great leadership, we've got great commitment, and now we have a facility that works for where we are now, and then certainly as we transition down to the existing Turner Field site, obviously we expect to grow and make it bigger and better.
Yeah, and we'll get to Turner Field and tie in with the Olympic sports as well. Right here in this area, another change we've seen is the basketball facility. You have the basketball, the arena, mm-hmm. but now you have the practice court next to the sand volleyball field or courts. How did that come about, and how much does that help with alleviating pressures of practice times? Because I've noticed from Sally and Ron and others, having that extra court has been very beneficial to the program.
We're incredibly thankful to two families that are huge Georgia State supporters, and that's Kathy Henson and Patty Fair for stepping forward and helping us meet a much-needed need, and that was to have an additional practice space for primarily our basketball programs, but as you mentioned, our volleyball teams have been able to use as well as our spirit programs, and so we've gone from the one main arena to the second facility, and the floors, the courts mimic themselves. We've even tried to replicate the graphics that are on the back wall to really give our teams the home court advantage, both in the arena and in the practice facility. But when you're trying to juggle people's schedules, class times, treatments, academic tutoring, the strength and conditioning sessions, and also with the practice time, having multiple venues to be able to do that, it's been a lifesaver. And like I mentioned before, without Kathy and her husband Chris and then Patty and Brad, without their commitment, it wouldn't be possible. And it's something that we hope to capitalize on like gifts to do other things for other programs in a similar nature. But it's a transformational a gift and transformational opportunity for the program to develop.
And lastly, kind of tying in with your Metro Atlanta facilities, the sand volleyball court, I mentioned it earlier. That's probably one of the most successful programs on a national level that people aren't aware of, competing for a national championship. And it's a unique setup, having the courts kind of right next to the street and everything like that. What was the setup for that like, and how's that been beneficial for that program, and do you have any other plans just to involved with that area?
I give a lot of credit to those before me, and also to President Becker, Jerry Ratcliffe, among others on campus, for the whole idea behind beach volleyball as a sport at Georgia State. I think it's a fascinating program. We've got a tremendous coach. Beth Van Fleet is as good as there is in the country. But to be on the cutting edge of an emerging sport and be able to do it in downtown Atlanta, in the unique venue that we have, it's an awesome thing to be a part of. They're fantastic events to attend and watch. The athleticism of the kids who play is phenomenal, and it's everything to me. That's what's really exciting about Georgia State. It's something unique in a confined space, and yet we make it work, and we make it work really well. Our kids are outstanding students. To go along with being great athletes. We've actually played in two national championships. This past year was the first year that was recognized by the NCAA. Ideally for us, we'd like to figure out a way to create a beach volleyball venue going forward. We've got some unique opportunities with one being in Atlanta and the destination city, but also the fact that Turner's is broadcasting a number of NCAA championships and the validity of our program, I think, gives some credibility. But, we've got some ideas and thoughts. We have no issue that money won't solve. It's kind of a joke I like to put out. But we certainly love what we have and want to make it better if possible.
Well, and we'll finally get to Turner Field. That's the thing that everyone in the area. And even with it's gotten a lot of buzz, even outside of non-college sports fans, because the alumni base here is strong in the city, and you hear Turner Field. Obviously, the Braves have moved on to their new location. Two things. One, where are the plans are right now for what you would do with that facility or that area? And what sports would you like to have in there as far as playing grounds?
We're obviously in a stage where we're trying to do our due diligence. And and work through the process. Hopefully within the next several weeks, we'll get the appropriate approvals that we need to secure, the university needs to secure to acquire the property and then start the development stage. And it's an exciting time to think about what can happen and what will happen coming down the road. And we're incredibly thankful. The Braves have been an unbelievable partner in terms of trying to help us with the transition. The folks with the mayor's office, the city, everybody involved, they want to see Georgia State be successful. They want to see a successful transition. And the development that we have in mind is candidly, I use the word transformational. It's transformational for our university. It's transformational for the neighborhood. Certainly, it's transformational for our athletic program. And obviously, the main beneficiary out right off the bat would be our football program as we try to play football in the stadium. We're going to do an adaptive reuse. We're not quite there yet with the plans to be able to put them out there and showcase, but. We think we're going to have a tremendous venue in a unique setting. Nobody's ever really tried. It's been a long time, I guess I should say, since people have taken baseball stadiums and tried to play football inside of them. There's some unique challenges, but the maintenance and the times that we've been able to go to the former Turner Field has been the Braves have done an unbelievable job. The Recreation Authority have done an unbelievable job of maintaining that facility, and we certainly think that our role as caretakers and moving forward are going to be tremendous. Ultimately, we've got some other plans to add facilities. Obviously, based on approvals, it's been talked about trying to put a baseball field on the former site of Atlanta Fulton County Stadium and to do some kind of, as part of that, to honor Hank Aaron in an appropriate manner, which, I use the word transformational, but it's an amazing, unique opportunity for a college program to be able to interface with great leaders, visionaries of our community, and ultimately we want to be good partners. We think that part of the mission of Georgia State is we're an access institution, and we've got an opportunity for kids who want to play sports, who want to go to school. If we can showcase outstanding students, staff, and coaches throughout the city, and athletics obviously is a very visible piece of that. But if we can showcase people. I think there are a number of kids that are going to look at it and say, wow, if that person can do it or this person can do it, then I can as well, and be those role models that we all want our coaches and our kids to be and certainly have successful teams. And, you got to have great people, you got to have great facilities, and you got to have the infrastructure to be successful at any Division I program. And, within a matter of time, we're going to have, all three of those elements to really – transform and make this program something that people never really envisioned 10, 15 years ago.
Would some of the two things, some of the Olympic sports, like a softball, a soccer, will they eventually be involved in those plans? And along with that, how long will Pantherville be used as far as, would there still be a place for that area for athletics?
The long-term vision for athletics is to bring all of our sports closer back to the downtown campus. It's not going to happen overnight.
Sure.
It's a long-term process. The initial focus will be on the football stadium. The next focus then, based on approvals, because we've got groups that, and especially the Board of Regents, that we need to make sure they're comfortable how we're doing and progressing and doing our programming. But the baseball would be the next. Ideally, we'd like to get soccer. Down, potentially look at when football vacates the MLK property, can we convert that to a soccer facility? We have to do some adjustments, but we also have golf, tennis, the beach volleyball program, track and field. So we've got a number of programs that we're spread out all over downtown trying to make use of facilities and to be able to have venues that we can call our own or mostly our own and give our kids 24/7 access. But one of the intriguing things about Turner Field for us is that where the current 755 Club is in the administrative building the Braves have at the stadium, we're going to convert that into an academic center. We're going to convert that into a life skills center. We're going to add some computer lounge study areas, study lounges. We're going to make it into an everyday occurrence for the vast majority of our student athletes to come in and out. And also tie in with some other academic programs on campus. And really fully utilize the spaces beyond just being a football stadium that would host, you know, 6, 8, 10 events a year. We'd like to think that we can do a number of student programming events out at the stadium, and really just kind of be a beacon for what Georgia State means to downtown Atlanta.
Just elaborate, being an urban campus, it's probably one of the most unique urban campuses in the nation with a top 10 market like Atlanta and also being a Division I program. Just how do you try to balance that out? Kind of what are the challenges that people wouldn't be aware of as far as, you mentioned we've talked about the facilities, but just any other things as far as working in this such a unique setup like this?
You know, everybody goes to Georgia State recognizes that, you know, we're a campus without borders. And so if you're looking for a place with a lot of green grass, you know, it doesn't exist in downtown Atlanta, part of the urban fabric of where we are. You know, some people say maybe an untraditional campus experience, but the reality for me is I think it's the scale of it's phenomenal. It's fascinating, actually. The academics are second to none. What's really, really exciting about our campus and I think our athletic program mirrors it is the tremendous diversity, and I think the learning that comes from diversity, the inclusion of many people in conversations and decisions. You're exposed to false ideas that maybe you never would have thought of, you know, otherwise in a more traditional setting. But you know, what we're trying to do from an athletic standpoint is take all the advantages of being in downtown, being in this market. If you want a job, most people are moving back to the bigger cities, especially millennials. And you know, it fascinates me that you want to go someplace to school and say, okay, but my ultimate goal is I want to be back in Atlanta. Well, why not go to school in Atlanta, network with all the, you know, the thousands of Georgia State graduates and others that live in this downtown community and live in this metro area from a standpoint of doing internships, you know, summer jobs, you know, that type of co-op employment, and really set yourself up for the next 20, 30, 40 years of your life. And it's a unique opportunity experience, you know, big city, urban living on a daily basis. And you know, kids that come here, I think at some point maybe get a little bit intimidated by being in the big city on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. But they quickly fall in love with the idea of living in this environment. And frankly, like any other place, you know, where you work, where you live, where you study, where you stay, it really comes down to people. And we've got some really solid people on this campus, and especially in our program. And they care about kids, they care about their education, they care about their future. And that's what makes it, you know, a pretty unique, but also it makes it an amazingly exciting place to come work every day.
You had worked in the Atlanta Sports Council for years before, so you've known this market for a long time. One, where do you think Georgia State kind of places athletically with some of your contemporaries, collegiately or even professionally? And do you have relationships with some of these other programs? I know on the media side, it's a small world. People who cover, we usually cover kind of the same beats. Do you have any relationships or any tie-ins with any of the local programs, collegiately or athletically? Do you see some crossover there?
I told people after being here for about I don't know, a month, 6 weeks, that it was fascinating to me that Atlanta's still a small, big town. And it's the same once you make relationships and you see people. And there's some people, obviously, in roles or different roles that I remember and stayed in touch with through the years after being gone for close to 18 years. And you stay in touch. The internet, the technology stuff makes it a little bit easier as you travel, and especially when you stay in the same industry. But, you know, the relationships among the schools, it's all a brotherhood, fraternity, however you want to look at it. You know, the ADs at the schools in Georgia, we talk. You know, I look forward to getting to know Todd. I don't really know Todd, but I know
at Georgia Tech, yes.
But I know Greg. I know, you know, Tom Kleinline down at Georgia Southern. We talk as much as our fan bases probably would be disappointed to understand. We talk quite frankly, and especially, you know, being in the same league and meetings. But you know, our Sunbelt ADs, we talk. Yeah, monthly, but many of us talk, you know, several times a month offline in different conversations. But yeah, it's a pretty incestuous environment that we live in, very similar to the media world.
Yeah, and it seems like things have, like, dealing with this city, because I have family here since the 90s, really. Georgia State Athletics was kind of an afterthought. That wasn't even acknowledged. But now with success in men's basketball and just having a football program, just having that presence on Saturday afternoons, you know, for a good 3-4 months, seems like the profile of the school is athletics, and it's probably helped the school grow as well.
Yeah, as big a celebrity as Ron Hunter is, I'm just thankful that he actually acknowledged me when he parks next to me in the parking deck. And I just one day wish he'd let me drive his car, but so far he won't let me do that. But certainly what this university did for downtown in the last probably 10 years in terms of the vitality of downtown and bringing people you know, down on a daily basis, and the path and the scale of what where the campus is in terms of this downtown fabric on a day-to-day basis, I think is you know, shows tremendous vision and leadership. And as we put the footprint to, you know, the Turner Field site, and it becomes, you know, Georgia State property, and we do what we're going to do, and the relationships that we create and the partnerships that we create with the existing communities through that development, and then you watch the economics that come from what the parts that Carter's going to develop as a part of it, with the housing and the retail and the industry that's created, will further solidify this whole reach, and it will be virtually impossible for someone who travels in and out of downtown or even around downtown not to recognize Georgia State and what we do as a campus for this you know, part of our community. And then, you know, ultimately for us, you know, athletically, we got to capitalize on that. You know, everybody recognizes that in many cases athletics is a great front door for a college from a branding standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a student interaction standpoint. And you know, and that's our unique challenge. We've got a relatively young athletic program in terms of being at the Division I level across all sports, and we've got to create fans, we've got to create, you know, friends of fans, and we've got to get our students involved and engaged, and you know, that's our daily challenge, is just trying to build a fan base, and certainly having successful programs with, you know, great people involved is paramount for us to be able to do that.
I'm sure a thing that's going to help branding in the future, I mean, currently, is the deal with Under Armour. I see that I guess it happened within the past few months, and I got the announcement about it. Take me through that process of switching, I guess, from Nike to Under Armour, and what do you expect from that relationship, and how's that going to help the athletic program?
Yeah, our previous merchandise supplier, the contract expired at the end of the academic year last year, and so we had an opportunity to evaluate where we were and where our place was in the market. And as a mid-major program, you know, they're significant financial deals, but they're not these earth-shattering deals that you see a lot of Power 5 schools are able to generate. So you have to, one, understand the landscape. Secondly, for us, it was pretty important that we wanted to make sure that, you know, if we had an opportunity to stay with who we were or go with a new provider, that it was going to be one of those moments, because it's a long-term relationship, it was going to be one of those moments where we maximize the value. And it's quality, it's what can we do to help our kids, you know, dress and feel and compete safely, but also in a pretty cool way, and it would appeal to the kids. And then we want to be with a partner that we thought, we think we're an emerging program. We think we're growing. We think that our best days are ahead of us. We've had some pretty magical moments in the past, and especially recently, but we've got many great days ahead of us, and we want to be a part of you know, partner with someone who shared that belief. And so we went out and did our due diligence, and you know, of the opportunities that we had that presented themselves to us, we felt like the Under Armour brand fit where we wanted to go. It was fascinating about it is listening to people, young and old, who have a strong preference one way or the other. It's almost like you know, the whole Coke and blue bottle world.
It's acknowledged. It matters. You hear about recruits and other people. They do acknowledge one brand over another. Maybe not being a deciding factor, but being something that is considered in the process.
Yeah, and one of the things that we did, we made sure we talked with our coaches that, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, that no matter which direction we went, everybody was going to be comfortable, that we weren't going to exclude ourselves from you know, one opportunity or another to recruit elite level players based on which brand we were. And, you know, honestly, we're excited about the partnership that Under Armour is going to have with the Atlanta Public Schools.
We think
there's some residual benefit to us. We think there's also some partnership opportunities from that. Under Armour's gotten real involved with local basketball from both the men's and the women's perspective. Had a huge tournament this past year up at Lake Point. It's only going to grow and get better. You know, so we feel like that we've given ourselves an opportunity to stay mainstream and be a part of an emerging brand, much like ourselves, and really, you know, put our kids in just showpiece uniforms and equipment. So we're excited about what comes down the road with it.
Two more things overall. You mentioned the relationships. I cover some schools in Metro Atlanta, and they do work with them as far as facilities and stuff like that. Do you see athletics as being a role as well with Georgia State as far as charities or open events with the youth or any other activities within this area?
Yeah. Our whole culture for our program is built around five paramount tenets, and one of those is community engagement. And you know, we recognize the role that we play. Selfishly, we want, you know, people in Atlanta wearing Georgia State t-shirts, wearing our hats, coming to our games, being a part of it. And, you know, and part of that process is that you got to be out and about, and our kids have to be great ambassadors, our coaches, our staff have to be great ambassadors for the university. And so, we certainly think that within the confines of what's, you know, what's allowed, there's some people are made sometimes with NCAA restrictions on what you can and cannot do with schools and kids that are of high school age. But, you know, we want to provide opportunities. And then as we develop more facilities downtown that are Georgia State branded and the accessibility is there, we certainly think that we will have some unique opportunities to really showcase our campus to you know, kids of all ages as time evolves.
You see that. I was going to say, will you have accessibility with prep programs or, I guess, a high school or even lower levels than that as far as using your facilities for hosting different events, whether it's AAU or a youth organization, things like that?
Yeah, we've obviously got to be very careful about how we go about it.
Sure.
Our first approach will be to make sure we take care of our teams and campus needs. But, you know, the world of recruiting, camps are a valuable part of evaluating players and future players. And so, you know, it gives our coaches, when our facilities are completed, or as they're completed, I guess I should say, we'll give unique opportunities for coaches to hold camps and do those things. One of the things that I think in our world that's coming down is trying to greatly reduce the external influences of third parties, and especially with camps. So there may be some challenges there, but I envision, as an example, the Dome hosts a number of high school football games.
That's what I was talking about, like that type of stuff.
And so we think that, you know, obviously that there's some future opportunities in our own stadium for us to host those type of games. And anytime you can bring, you know, kids, programs, teams to your campus and see your facilities, meet your people. Obviously, those are great beneficial pieces. And I also think that, again, and probably done appropriately and in a proper context, there's some opportunities to do some charitable events and things. But you know, that's down the road once we get up and running and try to figure out exactly what we can and cannot do.
All right, and lastly, busy crossover time right now. Your fall sports, some of them are in conference championship mode. And regular season, and then you have basketball starting up pretty soon. What are some things the program has planned as far as basketball season coming up, or anything even spring-wise that you want to promote just long-term, or what's going to be happening here at Georgia State?
Yeah, it's this time of year is always fascinating with the fall sports coming to a close and then the winter sports cranking back up. And You know, and it's a unique time, but it's also a fun time, and especially then you throw in the fact that the semester's, you know, amazingly coming close to an end with the exams, and then graduation for our kids that are leaving. So we do a big party for our graduating seniors, both in the fall and the spring. I think it's pretty important for the families to know the genuine appreciation for the kids, you know, once they do finish, and obviously we're trying to make sure they don't forget about us when they all make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars coming out of school and give back and help the next generation of Panther athletes. But you know, we had a great successful GSU jam last week, showcasing both our basketball programs. We're excited about the potential of both teams. Every game there's a unique marketing opportunity. There's great fan interaction. We're trying to do some different programming with our students to help attend us. But you know, Georgia State basketball games are pretty special events, and certainly our teams play well when the arena's full. And as we get into the spring, again we like to think most of our teams are competitive. We've got great spring sports with tennis and golf and softball, baseball, and you know, men and women, and our track and field team. So you know, it's just a fun time to realize that the weather allows us to train year-round here. We don't have to really go hunt for places to go. Certainly, you have to avoid, you know, sometimes some inclement weather, but not on a grand scale. And it's just really fun to watch our kids compete. And GeorgiaStateSports.com is our website. Anybody's interested in a particular sport or team, gets schedules, it gets rosters, you know, bios on coaches, and certainly the stories behind the jersey. The name on the front of the jersey is really, really important, but you know, the cool part about what we get to do is the stories that come from the names on the back of the jerseys. And we got some great kids here, and the stories they tell and live every day for us is truly fascinating.